Please remain standing for the reading of God's holy word from the book of Daniel. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city, to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Know therefore and understand that from going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in troubled time. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate, until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the infallible, inerrant reading of your word being infallible and inerrant. And now, Lord, we seek to hear a word from you as your word, Lord, is expounded and explained and applied. Oh, Lord, give me, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, the ability to rightly divide this word. And Lord, for your people to rightly hear and obey your word. Lord, as with Daniel, we pray for understanding this morning. Understanding with a very difficult text. But Lord, understanding of a text, Lord, that at its core is simple. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, last Sunday, for those few of you who weren't here, we had learned from chapter 9 that Daniel was a prayer warrior. And we learned that the things that motivated Daniel to pray were three. It was the Word of God itself, which contained the promises of God. It was the sovereignty of God, God being all-powerful, that motivated Daniel to pray. As well, all for the glory of God. These three things prompted Daniel and ought to also prompt us to pray, just like Daniel. And just as Daniel, last Sunday we learned that we need to be people of faith who pray the prayer of faith. Now, last Sunday I shared with you the prayer of faith is different from the secret prayer. A secret prayer is when we pray for God to work in our life. Lord, I would like this promotion. Lord, I would like this. And pray for different things, but we don't really know if it's God's will for your life. Have you ever prayed for something in your life and the answer was no? Happened to me quite a bit. The reason is because there we're trying to understand the secret will of God. And the secret will of God is hidden. And only God knows it until God reveals it to you in space and time. Okay? But as Christians, I think most of our prayers, though those prayers are good, obviously. We should petition God. But then there's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is really just praying the Bible. Understand that the Bible, the covenant that God made with His people and us, are really understood as promises that God has given us. And when we pray the promises of God, in other words, God's will that's revealed in Scripture, we can be assured that God will answer in the affirmative, right? This is what I mean by the prayer of faith. Now, near the end of my sermon, I'm going to come back to the prayer of faith. Well, that's what we learned from last week. Now, this morning, we're now going to take a look at the answer to God's prayer. To Daniel's prayer. The answer to Daniel's prayer. So this morning, I'm going to want to do three things. First, I want to look at what was Daniel's concern. What was Daniel concerned about, really? Secondly, what was God's answer to Daniel? Which I will say, I've come to this text with fear and trembling. I'm one of these preachers, I've preached through books of the Bible, but when it comes to things like this, I'd rather kind of skip over, because this is one of the most difficult texts, in my opinion, in all the Scripture to teach or preach. So if you don't get it this morning, it'll be because the weakness of your pastor, but bear with me. Secondly, we'll try to look at how God answered Daniel and his prayer. And third will be just the application. The so what? How does this apply to us as Christians? So if you're taking notes, let's look at Daniel's concern. What was the concern? Well, last Sunday we noticed that Daniel was prompted to pray based on Jeremiah 25, 1 through 11. I shared that with you last Sunday. And Jeremiah prophesied what? That Israel would be in exile for 70 years. For 70 years they would be in exile. And during that time, the land, the city, and the temple would be laid waste. The temple would be destroyed, which it was, after Nebuchadnezzar came in. In 586 B.C., it was destroyed. The city was destroyed. Okay, the land was put out. But Daniel also said that at the end of 70 years, get this, Israel will be restored. So the theme of Daniel 9 is one of restoration. What will be restored? The land will be restored. The city will be restored. And more importantly, the temple will be restored. Understand that the city represented the heart and the security of the surrounding land. Right? But the temple represented the heart and the security of the city of Jerusalem. So the core is the temple that radiates out to the city, that radiates out to the land. So what God is telling the prophet Jeremiah, that God will punish Israel, but after the end of 70 years, that God will restore his people. Now, when did this begin? Well, it actually began with the Babylonian captivity in 605 B.C. I'm going to read for you Jeremiah 25:1. This is what Daniel read when he was prompted to pray. It says, "The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah, watch, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah," that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Now, if you look at the fourth year of Jehoiakim, when was that? It was 605 B.C. 605 B.C. is when Daniel and his three friends, what happened to them? They were taken into exile. We remember Daniel chapter 1, where we have Daniel, then we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that? That was the year in 605 B.C., and they were deported. Here, in chapter 9 of Daniel, of the book of Daniel, Babylon now has fallen into the hands of the Persians. What happened after Babylon fell in the hands of the Persians? Let me read for you 2 Chronicles chapter 36, if you're taking notes. And I'm going to read 21 through 23. This is sort of the historical narrative that talks about this time. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. It says, "To fulfill the word of the Lord, the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths," this is important, the Sabbaths, "all the days that it lay desolate, it kept the Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Now in the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus of Persia so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of his people, may the Lord, his God, be with him. Let him go. Unquote. Now, what we're reading here is explicitly talking about the famous decree of Cyrus, King Cyrus. And King Cyrus' decree is basically the end of Jeremiah's prophecy. And when is that? Well, in 605 BC is when the exile began. Here, this took place in 539 BC. This right here. This is a period of roughly 66 years. Daniel has been in exile for 66 years at this point. So what was going on? Well, Daniel was sensing the completion of the prophecy. He says, God, I'm an old man. 66 years have passed. Is this the beginning of restoration? This is why, and this is what prompted Daniel to pray. And get this, this was Daniel's concern. Daniel's concern was the restoration and the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple. That's it. Based on what? That God had promised 70 years earlier that he would restore the temple. That's why Daniel prayed. This is what I mean, the prayer of faith. Daniel wasn't just praying just to pray. God, I hope that you'll restore the temple. Right? How many things have you prayed for that you hope to take place, but they never did? It's because, well, God hasn't promised us everything. But God has promised us some things that we know for sure. Where do you find those? In the Bible. This is why we honestly have to be students of the Word. This is why I belabor over and over again. I labor trying to explain the Word, because without understanding our Word, we won't understand the promises of God. Daniel knew his Bible. He knew the prophecies of Jeremiah. So now Daniel prays the prophecy of Jeremiah. He's saying, God, is this it? I know restoration is just about here. So that's Daniel's concern. And we talked a little bit about that last week. Now, here's God's answer. Here's God's answer. Isn't it sometimes scary when God does answer you? All right, God, what are you going to say? Watch what it says here. Beginning in verse 20 of chapter 9. While I was speaking and was praying, confessing my sin and the sins of the people of Israel, and presenting my supplication, in other words, he was asking God for something, before the Lord, my God, on behalf of the holy mountain of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, this is in the middle of his prayer. Guess what happens? It says, the man Gabriel, the angel, whom I had seen before, remember Gabriel had come up before, in a vision, came to me. This is not a vision, this is personal. Came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He came and he said to me, here you go, Daniel, I have now come out to give you wisdom and understanding. He says, at the beginning of your supplication, the word went out. Daniel, as soon as you asked God, God was going to answer your prayers. That's what he's saying. As soon as the word came out, the beginning of your supplications, I have come to declare it, for you are greatly beloved. So consider the word and the understanding of the vision. Look at this. While the words were coming out of the mouth of Daniel, his prayer was answered. In fact, the decree of God, the decree that will begin the wheels of redemption, culminating all the way to the cross of Jesus Christ, has been answered by God to Daniel. And the timetable that God gives Daniel is here 70 weeks, with a week being 7 years. Okay? Now, what do I mean? If you look at verse 4, if you would, look at verse 4. It says, 70 weeks are decreed for your people in your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness, and to seal both vision and prophet, and, watch, and to anoint a most holy place. Now, I'm going to stop right there. This is the part of the text that gave me a lot of sleepless nights this week, because this is a very difficult text. We have to say to ourselves, what is going on here? I actually don't know of any preacher who thinks this is an easy text to preach. This is very difficult. But to try to explain it, we have to understand symbolisms. What are the symbolisms? The title of my sermon here is Daniel's 70th Weeks. What are these 70 weeks that Daniel is talking about? Well, for one, are these 70 weeks, are they literally years that he's talking about? Here, 70 weeks, a week is 7 years. Okay? That's what the word week means. 7 years. God says, I'm going to give you 77. And what does the 77 comes to? 490 years. So the question before us this morning, is God giving Daniel some sort of 490-year timeline? Is that what's taking place? Or is this 490 years or these 77s, are they symbolic? Well, this morning I'm going to argue that they're symbolic. I'm going to argue that they're theological. So please bear with me, all right? And then I'll make my practical application. I and others take Daniel's 70th week symbolically and theologically. The reason for this is because 70 weeks or 490 years is equal to 10 Jubilee years. And you say, well, Pastor, what in the world is a Jubilee year? Understand this, that in the Old Testament, you have to think the way the Jews do. In the Old Testament, just like us, have any of you ever been in debt before? Any of you ever had to file chapter 11? All right, this is part of humanity. In the ancient world, people would even get in debt. They would have to sell their property. In fact, some families would have to sell their children as indentured servitudes to work off a debt. Jewish children, and they would grow up. And can you imagine this taking place? All this debt, all this slavery due to debt. Well, God put a mechanism in the nation of Israel to reset the people. God said this, that every 49 years, all of your debt will be wiped out. Everybody who has had to sell their, if you had to be sold into slavery to pay off a debt, you would be able to be freed from slavery. Everything started off clean. If you had to sell your land, you know, your family's farm that's been in your farm for hundreds of years, and you had to sell it because of debt, guess what? That farm went back into your family's name. This is what I mean by resetting. So every 49 years is called the Year of Jubilee. How many of you would like to have that, right? Praise God for that. Wouldn't it be great if America could reset herself that way? How many trillions of dollars in debt do we have today? What if every in the 49 years, all of us reset and we're down to zero again? Now, why did God do that? Well, God did that because he knew because of sinful man, we would mess things up. So God put in every 49 years a year of Jubilee. And the purpose of the year of Jubilee, please get this, was one of restoration. This is key. Restoration. Now, in the Bible, 49 represented the year Jubilee, but if you took the number 49 times 10, what do you get? Any math wizards here? 490. What I'm saying is here, the number 10 means completion. So 10 times this right here, 49 years, is a time of absolute restoration. This is, in fact, I think, what Daniel is being taught here by the prophet Gabriel, by the angel Gabriel. Daniel is learning here that God is talking about a restoration, not just for his people Israel, but something which is much bigger than his people Israel. If you would, let me do a real quick running commentary on this and explain what I mean. Look at verse 25. We'll go through this really quick. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that the time that the word went out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the time of the anointed prince, there shall be 7 weeks, and for 62 weeks I shall build again with streets and moat, but in the time of trouble. What the prophet is being told here is that Israel will be rebuilt again. They'll be restored, but it'll be a time of trouble. It won't be easy. Any of you have read Ezra and Nehemiah? Any of you remember the trouble that Ezra and the governor Nehemiah had to go through to build the temple, to build the city walls of Jerusalem? It didn't happen overnight. It was a time of trouble. Gabriel is saying here, it will be a time of trouble, but Daniel, it will happen. Look at verse 26. In the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. You know what that's a reference to? Jesus. The anointed one, Jesus Christ, during this period of time, this is way after Daniel, shall be cut off. In other words, he will die and he will have nothing. In other words, he will not be dying for himself. He'll be dying for someone else, you and me. This continues. And the troops of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end shall come with a flood. Beloved, this is a prophecy about Titus. He was a Roman general. A Roman general that 40 years after the death of Jesus, Titus destroyed the nation of Israel. He's the prince. And watch what it says here. Desolations are decreed. He shall, this is Jesus, shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. And for half of the week he shall make sacrifice and offerings will cease. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, all the sacrifices that took place in the temple came to an end. And watch what it says here. And in their place shall be an abomination that desolates until the decree end is poured out upon the desolator. There it's talking about the destruction of Israel in A.D. 70. Now, do you see why now I wanted to skip this? And not necessarily go through Daniel's 70th week, but this is important because this is the Word of God. Though Daniel would not be alive to see the Messiah, this is key, he had a certain hope that he was coming and that the wheels of God's redemption and restoration, though grinding exceedingly slowly, they grind very fine. Daniel had a certain hope that God would fulfill his promise. What did Daniel learn here? I think Daniel was so preoccupied with the temple being built. And God says, Daniel, it's not about the temple. It's about the temple, not about the temple. It's about the Messiah who is the ultimate temple. In the New Testament, when the Bible talks about the temple of God, it's not referring to something that was built by man's hand. Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, in 3 days, I'll destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up. What was Jesus talking about? Himself. So Daniel was learning here that it wasn't about some physical temple. It was about Jesus Christ, who was the temple. It's not talking about some jubilee where people are freed from debt. It's talking about the ultimate jubilee, the 70th week. It's talking about freedom from death and sins. Beloved, this text here is a prophecy about the coming of Jesus Christ 535 years before Jesus was born. Amen. An application. What do we do with this? I was struggling with this week. I was like, man, Lord, it's hard enough to teach on 70th week, but where's our application? Here's the application for you. We talk about prayer of faith. Beloved, what is a prayer of faith? A prayer of faith is praying the Word of God, like Daniel. You know, with the shootings taking place and all the mayhem in our world, doesn't it seem like our world has no meaning? Doesn't it look like that? Doesn't it look like the world is just going nowhere? Does it look like that there's no purpose in life? Why do you think people murder one another? You know, somebody did a study recently on why are killings happening in school, and they didn't happen before. You know why? Because young people are taught in our secular atheistic environment that history has no meaning. There's no purpose to life. If there's no purpose to life, why not kill someone? Because you're not going to be held accountable. It's this sort of atheistic sort of nihilism that has gripped our culture. This is why our culture is falling apart. Well, what do we do as Christians? Beloved, pray the Word of God. The Word of God is very clear to us that history has a meaning, that history has a purpose, that history is going somewhere. Where is it going? Well, beloved, for us, we know the history has already came. It came in the person of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who split time in half, B.C. and A.D. We as Christians, whenever we're despondent, whenever we're perplexed, beloved, the good news is we can pray the promises of God. What are the promises? Faith looking back to the cross. It's at the cross that God has judged evil, that God has, through Jesus Christ, has judged the devil. It's at the cross where we have restoration. The year, ultimate year of Jubilee, that we are right with God. Beloved, if you ever feel like life is meaningless and you have no hope, look to the cross of Christ. This is what Daniel was doing. Daniel was looking future-wise to the cross. That's hope. With us, we look back to the cross in faith. But that's not the end of the story. We also are to look future. Futuristically, what are we looking to? Beloved, I've been teaching this lately, but we're to look to what? The second coming of Jesus Christ. Just like Daniel looked into the future for restoration, beloved, the ultimate restoration that will take place is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And what will happen? What will happen will be the end of history. History will run out. And what will happen? There will be judgment. There will be a resurrection. And beloved, the good news is there will be a new heavens and the new earth. In other words, I believe what Daniel is ultimately pointing to, the 70th week at the end, is the total Jubilee year. The absolute Jubilee year. The Bible says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. No more death. No more dying. No more sin. Beloved, aren't you waiting that day? You know, I can see maybe that much of it, but I don't really quite understand it. Beloved, if you're like that, just look to the Word and trust in the promises of God and Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're still kind of in the dark like Daniel. But beloved, we still have God's Word and God's promise to never leave us and to never forsake us. Let that be our prayer of faith. Let us pray. Lord God, as we come to near the end of Daniel, and as we go into texts and prophecies that are very difficult, very hard to understand, Lord, at its core, they're simple to understand. Lord, your word teaches us that history does have meaning, that there is purpose to life, that though there is evil in this world and destruction, as it was in Daniel's day, though this is true, that one day all of this will come to an end, and that on that day everyone will give an account. Lord, help us as your church to hold on to that meaning of history. Help us, Lord, in the midst of despondency and despair, not to be caught up the way the world is without hope. Lord, help us to be people of faith and hope and love. Lord, help us to be people who really know our Bibles, who really know the gospel, who can speak to these issues of the day with certainty, with faith and hope. Lord, we are only able to do that if we do as Daniel did, if we get on our knees, if we confess our personal sins, if we confess the sins of our own people, Lord, if we would pray according to the promises of your word, Lord, if we would pray that way, as you taught us, Jesus, as we ask, Lord, to be given, as we seek, we will find, as we knock, Lord, it will be open. Lord, help us, Lord, to pray like that, to be like Daniel. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. In Christ's name, amen and amen.